Why did the book join the police?
I don't know. Why?
So he could work undercover.
It's time for the Children's Hour. This is KUNM 89.9 FM and KUNM.org. Live and local from the University of New Mexico.
You gotta have coffee. You gotta have coffee, baby. You gotta have coffee. You gotta have coffee, baby. You gotta have coffee. You gotta have coffee, baby. When the kids are up at the break of dawn, everybody's got their pajamas on. Any hope of getting back to sleep is gone, gone. Well, you gotta have coffee. You gotta have coffee, baby. A one, a two, a one. You gotta have coffee. You gotta have coffee, baby. You gotta have coffee. You gotta have coffee, baby. You gotta have coffee. You gotta have coffee, baby. When the kids are up at the break of dawn, everybody's got their pajamas on. Any hope of getting back to sleep is gone, gone. Well, you gotta have coffee. You gotta have coffee, baby. You gotta have coffee. You gotta have coffee, baby. You gotta have coffee. You gotta have coffee, baby.
Good morning. It's time for the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. I'm your host, Katie. I'm so happy to be with you. It's a beautiful day here in New Mexico. Hope it's beautiful for you, too. And that you just heard coming off a CD called Dad. That was Hugh Blumenfeld. And you gotta have coffee. I'm guessing some of you are out there sipping some coffee right now. And good morning to everybody in the studio, including little Nola. Good morning, Nola.
Hi.
Hi, Nola. And good morning to you, Julia.
Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. And good morning to you, Miss Anna.
Good morning.
Well, you all, we're going to be doing a show today about privacy. Do you have a sense of what privacy is?
Maybe, like, my parents won't let me do Instagram because of privacy.
Why?
Because once you post pictures or something out on the internet, it's really out there. And you have to be really
for
careful.
For anybody to see.
Yeah.
That's right.
After
wow.
You put it on the internet or any social media, it's on the internet and anybody can see it.
And they like trust me, but maybe when I'm older I might not do things that I would think that I would do. So I won't realize. Maybe I will do this, post this one thing and I won't realize that this is going out to the whole, this is out
there
now.
That's right. Well, we're going to be talking in the studio with Alana Offield about exactly that. How to keep your privacy, what is privacy, and why is it so important? And kids often don't have any choice whether or not they keep things private because, like you say, people post things about them or pictures of them. And so we'll be talking about that, too. How do you keep your privacy in a digital age when you're a kid? And I think your parents are right on, actually, Anna, about Instagram and being cautious about posting
they
things.
Yeah,
a lot of my friends have Instagram, but I don't because it's too public.
A lot, almost all my friends have Instagram, and at first I was really mad at my parents because they wouldn't let me have it, and I just really wanted it. And they said, I can get Instagram when I'm an adult, and I can make good decisions. And they're saying that it's not like I won't make it decisions, but like one tiny thing. It just,
that's really, those are really some forward thinking parents. Well, Alana's going to talk with us exactly about that very issue, how kids can stay safe and protected, and how parents can help kids keep their privacy online and everywhere else too. And also we're going to be celebrating the birthday of a very special American author and political activist and lecturer who is actually one of the founders of the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. And that's where Alana Offield is from, the field organizer at the ACLU, to talk about privacy. So how exciting that it happens to be the birthday of one of the founders. You'll learn more about that coming up in the second half hour of the show. Plus, we have a great events calendar for kids and so much more. You're tuned to the Children's Hour.
Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every single day, every word you say, every game you play.
That was the Police song, Every Breath You Take, done this time by Josh Kaufman and the band Usher. And you are tuned to the Children's Hour. Today's show is about something maybe you know about, maybe you don't, but it's privacy. And in the studio, I have Alana Offield from the American Civil Liberties Union of New Mexico. She's a field organizer. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you for having me.
So happy you're here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about privacy. First of all, what is privacy?
So privacy is defined as being free from being observed by others. And so at the ACLU, we think of privacy as being free from government interference in our private lives, but also corporate interference as well. And everyone has the right to make decisions about their own private lives and what they want to keep private and what they want to share. So an example of something that's private might be a diary, right? So in your diary, you write your thoughts and feelings, and that's something that you keep to yourself. Or if you like to do like dancing and singing alone in your room, right, and you close the door, like that's a time when you're being private. And you can also be private about information about yourself. So you might feel okay about sharing like a favorite food or a favorite song with someone, but you might not want to share with someone things that make you scared or make you sad. Those things are private, and so those are things that you have the right to keep to yourself.
And kids, do kids have the right to privacy too, just like grown-ups?
In some ways, yeah. So the ACLU really looks at government interference, but parents aren't the government. So there's different rules that apply. So parents sort of have more control over the private lives of children. So your parents can post pictures about you online. They can tell friends and family stories about yourself. That's why it's really important for parents and children to have a good working relationship about what types of stories they want told or pictures they want taken and given to family, so that those conversations can happen, so that we're really talking about privacy and like what are the things that we want to keep to ourselves and what are the things we want to share.
But kids, in our discussions before we went on air today, we talked a little bit about the Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. Kids aren't really protected by the Bill of Rights. Is that right?
Everyone's protected, but young people have, I don't want to say less rights than adults, but the lines are more blurred when it comes to children because they do have parents or legal guardians that are responsible for them. So there are rights that children have, right? There are rights that all of us have, human rights, civil rights in the United States, but it gets a little muddy around child's privacy.
Because your school has the right, for example, to search your pockets. If they think you have gum in your pockets, they have the right to say, empty your pockets.
Right, yeah.
And they're not police or anything. And
no,
that's not really your private space at school.
Right. At school, there are rules. And so if the rules are made clear to you, and as long as those rules are constitutional and fair, you have to follow them. Right. So there are some cases where you could say, especially if they were doing sort of like sweeping searches that didn't seem fair, that might be a case that you could bring forward and say, I feel like my privacy was being violated here. But for the most part, the rules at school are the rules at school. And mm-hmm. so if teachers have rules about, you know, no phones and no, I want to see what's in your backpack, then you have to show them. But that doesn't mean that if, say, they confiscate your phone, they have the right to go through it. That would be a violation of your privacy. But if they wanted to look in a locker, look in a backpack, most schools would have the right to do that.
Well, we're talking about privacy today with Alana Offield. She's from the ACLU, New Mexico. And in the conversation about privacy, we're just sort of touching on what is privacy? What do you have the right to be private about? And why does it matter? And Alana, should kids know what should be private and what shouldn't be private?
I think really specifically, if we're talking about online mm-hmm. privacy, I think that's something that young people interact with a lot, right? Like so many people are on social media and we like to share things about ourselves, and social media is this great tool where we can connect with people and friends and family in far off places. But it's also important to think about how things live on the internet forever. Mm. Anything you put up could be misinterpreted or could reflect badly on you in the future. So it might seem harmless now, but later on, if you're trying to get a job or go to college, something that you've put up could come back. And it might not be how you feel anymore, but it's still there.
Well, and Alana, before we go to the online piece, what's the difference really between keeping a secret and having privacy? Are they about the same thing? Like, I want to encourage kids to not necessarily keep secrets from parents. You know, you really, unless it's like your mom's birthday present, you don't want to give that away. But when it comes to secrecy and privacy, is there a real shade of difference there? Like what you'd keep private and what you'd keep totally secret?
I think for me, secrecy and privacy, it's a difference in kind of the connotation or the meaning behind the word. When I think of a secret, I don't want to say it's like negative, but it sort of feels like heavier, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Where privacy is much more flexible, I think, right? There are times in my life whenever I want to be really private about my feelings on a certain thing, or, you know, how things that I want to do or things that I'm thinking about. And I just sort of keep those to myself. But then that might change. And as I get older, I want to share those things with other people. Mm. I think privacy is very fluid, where a secret seems very locked down, right? It's something that you sort of keep deep inside of you. And I think that sometimes that can be harmful, especially with families, because you want your family to be always having open conversations about all sorts of things. And so, yeah, definitely like sharing your feelings is important.
So we're not talking about keeping secrets. We're talking mm-hmm. about privacy. Like I don't mind everyone here on the radio knowing that I sing in the shower.
Right.
I do mind everyone here on the radio hearing me, or God forbid, seeing me sing in the shower.
Yeah.
Is that a good description of
yeah.
the difference?
Yeah, that's yeah. a great difference.
We're,
yeah.
we're talking with Alana Offield. She's from the ACLU New Mexico. We're going to come back to you and talk more about specifically privacy and the internet, because we're at a different era now with kids, and there's a lot more you have to pay attention to keep that privacy that is your right. And in the meantime, this is the Backyardigans. Listening to the Children's Hour. Today we're talking about privacy and kids with Alana Offield from the ACLU New Mexico. And Alana, we just briefly touched on it, but let's focus now on internet privacy, because there's actually these things called privacy settings. And so I'd really like to talk about, what does privacy mean in a digital era?
It's so important that we understand how privacy works online, because it's such a big part of our lives. So whenever you open an account, the privacy settings, that's an important thing to actually go through and make sure that you know, because that affects who can see the information that you're putting out, right? And you want to make sure that you usually have the tightest privacy settings available on all your stuff. So it's really only friends and family and people that you care about that are seeing the things that you're sharing. But then we also have to be aware that we can lose privacy. Some things that are private to us, other people might not understand that we want to keep those things private. So if we share a photograph or something with someone else, and then they share that with other people, and they're not respecting our privacy, but know that that happens online. It happens a lot. We hear about those stories all the time, right? People share private text messages or phone calls, right? So just being aware that there are steps to take, that you can be more private online, but also knowing that for the most part, anything that's online stays there forever. And people can screenshot it or screen grab it and share it with whoever they like, even if you delete it right away. And so it's just important to understand that. And a good rule is, don't share anything that you wouldn't want the whole world to know.
You mean like on Facebook and places like that? Don't share something you don't want the whole world to know, even if your privacy settings on Facebook, which, by the way, are by default pretty not private. And folks should know that if you've never looked at your Facebook privacy settings, that they're pretty hard to find. Up in the right corner, you got to click the lock, and it's all a lot of rigmarole to get to there. But once you get to there, it's fairly shocking that, for example, your posts are being shared with commercial interests. And I kind of wanted to chat with you a little bit about that particular part of online privacy, because it's not about like government intrusion per se into your Facebook posts, but it's really about corporations reading all your stuff and reading your kids' stuff and knowing maybe more than you'd want Walmart to know about you.
Exactly. It seems pretty harmless to say, you know, I like this brand, and you click the like button, and you, you know, put in what type of music you listen to, and maybe you don't give out your address, right? Like, that's not something you want to do, but you might sort of imply that you live in a certain type of neighborhood, right? In a rural area or an urban area. And all of those things are essentially how Facebook and different social media sites make their money. They collect that information and they turn around to big corporations and advertisers and they say, look, we have all of this really pinpointed data about people. So if you want to advertise really specifically to a demographic of people that we're pretty sure would like your products, here's all that information. And so that's how the money is made. So I'm sure people have experienced targeted advertising before. If you've been online, you've experienced it.
So let's talk a little bit about what is targeted advertising. And, you know, I'm talking about Facebook. Even though Facebook says, you know, no one under 13 should have an account, I know a lot of kids who have Facebook accounts.
Yeah.
So, that Facebook account, those posts of your child stick around forever.
They do. Yeah. And so, you know, something to think about with that, too, is that more employers and universities say that they often look at social media accounts when they're making decisions about who they might hire, just to sort of find out what type of person you are. Right. And so that's something to definitely keep in mind. If you're very young and on Facebook, that the things that you're posting now that seem fun and harmless, later on, you might feel really differently about them. And same with parents, too, right? So parents might be posting something about their child And then as that child gets older, that might be something that they don't want around anymore. So I think that's why it's important to just keep those lines of communication open around the identities that we build online and how long they last.
So when you get a targeted ad, it's like those things that come up that maybe you just did a Google search on smoke detectors. And right. All of a sudden, whenever you go to Google or anywhere online, you suddenly have all of these ads for smoke detectors. Mm-hmm. How is that related to privacy?
So the way that most sites work is if you go in and you make searches and you're logged in, right? Especially with Google, when you're logged in, they collect all of your searches. So that's also something that's a little scary to think about. All the things that you've ever searched for, Google has that information collected somewhere. And so all that information sort of hangs out with you as you go around the internet. So you're looking at smoke detectors, and then you're on Facebook and you see the ads for smoke detectors. And then you're somewhere else and you see another ad for smoke detectors. Like that information is part of your online profile, right? That just sort of exists on the internet. And there are ways to get around that. You can do searches when you're not logged in. There are other search engines you can use that don't collect that information in that way. And I would suggest, you know, doing some research and finding out about those things, because often they're not as convenient as Google might be. But if you're concerned about what information is sort of following you online, it's worth it to look into some of those things. But yeah, essentially all this information just hangs out with you, right, all the time online. And then you turn around and then different ads pop up, and then advertisers know exactly what kind of things you like.
Mm, that's creepy. We're talking with Alana Offield. She's the field organizer, one of them, at the ACLU New Mexico. We're talking about privacy and kids. We'll come right back in a second. This is the Facebook song by Rhett and Link.
There's an online world where I am king of a little website dedicated to me, with pictures of me and a list of my friends and an unofficial record of the groups that I'm in. Before the internet, friendship was so tough. You actually had to be in people's presence and stuff. Who would have thought that with a point and a click, I would know that Hope Floats is your favorite flick?
Harry Connick Jr.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is KUNM 89.9 FM and KUNM.org. Live and local from the University of New Mexico.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour. In our studio from the ACLU is Alana Offield. We're talking about privacy and kids, and we were talking about Facebook and social media and privacy and kids before we played that these crazy songs. Rhett and Link is what we played. And then also we played some Daryl Hall and John Oates, the very best of Daryl Hall and John Oates, Private Eyes. In fact, our entire playlist is at KUNM.org right now. But Alana, let's talk just a minute about, we talked a little bit about kids having their own Facebook account. It's really important to go in those privacy settings and make them as restrictive as possible. Otherwise, the whole world is seeing what you're posting. Mm-hmm. It always amazes me when friends make a little post on Facebook and you see that little world symbol. It's tiny. It's kind of grayed out. Mm-hmm. That means the whole world is seeing that post. Right. Everybody.
Yeah.
And when there's a little people, that means only your friends and folks. But sometimes your friends of friends can see your posts. And I was actually reading something about how tracking is done of people online. And a person of – so say I wanted to add up all of your friends, Alana, on Facebook. And then I decided to look at everything that every one of your friends had posted and all of their friends had posted. So we'll call that like the second degree away from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's 20,000 people, it turns out. That's insane. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that's when you make something, a post, if you're a parent or even a kid, and you're making a post about somebody in your family, your child, who really doesn't have any control over whether or not you post this naked picture of them doing something mm-hmm. crazy, that ostensibly can go out almost right away to 20,000 people. And so let's talk a little bit about posting about other people, because we might want to protect our own privacy, and that seems to make a lot of sense. But I think we're pretty careless online about mm-hmm. protecting other people's privacy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think, I've had friends that have posted sort of unflattering pictures of me that I wanted to ask them to take down, but it felt uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, it was just a conversation that had to be had, right? And I think now that more of our lives are online and more of our friendships are sort of shown online, that happens a lot. Friends just assume that you were hanging out, and so it's cool to sort of check into a certain place, say, oh, I was with this person at the movies, here's like a picture of us, or tweet about it. But if you're concerned about those things, I think it's important to tell the people around you, it doesn't make me comfortable whenever you say that I'm not at home right now, right? Because that, I don't know who's looking at that information, and I don't want anybody to think that there's nobody at my house, or I don't want this picture up because, it just makes me uncomfortable to have pictures of myself up, and I don't want them to be used by Facebook. So I think having those conversations is sort of how we make everyone more aware of the importance of privacy. And it is uncomfortable because I think because of social media, we're so willing to share. We have all these platforms. And so people assume that the more information we put out about ourselves, there's sort of a correlation between like living an exciting life and sort of having an exciting life online. And that involves lots of sharing. But it's okay to keep things closer and to say, no, I'm comfortable with sharing these types of things, but not others. And so I think it's important to talk to friends and family about that.
And what about parents who post pictures of their own kids? I mean, the kid can't really even, especially little kids, can't advocate for themselves and say, I didn't like that you posted this naked picture of me taking off my diaper, because mm-hmm. they don't know you did that, for one thing.
Right.
And I guess what, other than you mentioned earlier, and in case folks missed it, Facebook posts and anything you put online stays forever online tied mm-hmm. to that person. So if you are posting pictures of your children, your children don't have a choice of whether or not those pictures are online tied to them
right.
forever yeah. for the rest of their lives.
And I think we're in an interesting time now where social media has been around long enough that we're starting to see kind of the first waves of parents who got on Facebook and started posting pictures of their children that are now old enough to have their own Facebook accounts. Mm-hmm. And so where those pictures might not have been connected to a specific person because they didn't have their own account, now they do. And so now those pictures are connected to them, or, those stories are about them, and whatever it may be. And I think that's why it's just really important to think about, do I want the whole world to see this? I have a 3-year-old, and I think it's super cute, her like little bathtub pictures and stuff. And I'd love to share that with my family that lives around the world. But I really think about when she gets older, and social media is only getting more popular and growing, and she eventually has her own account, would she really want this, like, naked bathtub picture to be up? I don't think she would. And so for photos like that, I try and share those in other forms, right? So I might email it to somebody, email it to a family member, to her grandparents, so that they can see those types of things. But I really think about, like, what pictures I put up of her, and if, whenever she gets older, if she'll find those embarrassing. I mean, I'm sure I'll be embarrassing no matter what. But, how can I, like, lessen that and make sure that as she sort of develops her own online identity, she's allowed to shape that.
Yes. Well, let's touch on one more thing, which is the location settings and the GPS stuff that, you might not realize, but your phone or your device is often tracking every single step you take all over, including when you post a picture, the location of where that picture was posted gets posted. And why I'm bringing that up is about vacations and being outside of your home. So think about this for a moment. If I go on vacation and I post a picture saying, here I am in sunny San Diego at the pool, isn't it great? I'm really saying something to the entire world about my house. Oh, and by the way, my house is empty. Mm-hmm. So, you know, have at it. And I just wanted to have you touch on that a little bit about the location settings and all the ways that privacy can be violated unintentionally, that you didn't realize you were actually compromising your own privacy and indeed security and safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really important to know your devices and know how to turn off sort of GPS stuff and how to turn off sort of the settings on your social media that automatically will like kind of check you in to a place if you want to turn that off. I know GPS is like super handy if you're trying to find your way around somewhere that you've never been, but also know that, again, those corporate interests, everywhere that you go, that information is being tracked. So now not only do they know what kind of music you like and what movies you like, they know what theaters you go to, what stores you're shopping at, because all that information is being tracked on your phone. So I think it's really important to know how to turn that off and on, right, whenever it's useful to you, but then turn it off whenever you don't need it. Yes, and definitely being very careful about who you let know where you are. Mm. I think it's important for young people to sort of update their parents as to like where they're going if they're outside of the house, right? And social media can sometimes be helpful with that. But if no one's at your home and then you tell everyone in the world that no one's at your home, you're really opening yourself up to like some serious potential for crime and having people come to your house and mm-hmm. when you're not there and all sorts of things that we don't want. So something that I do that we were talking about earlier is if I go on a vacation and I want to share like the beautiful pictures of my vacation, I'll often wait until I get home to share those, right? I'm not going to share the pictures while I'm away because then people would know I'm not at home. I wait until I get home and then I share about my experience. And I think that that is sort of a smart move. And then also while I'm away, you know, maybe not posting as much or posting something that has nothing to do with my vacation so that people sort of don't know. But then again, I can share all the exciting things that happened when I get back and then I don't have to worry about it.
Alana, sometimes people say about privacy and security and being tracked and all that stuff and spying, and they say, I don't have anything to hide, so why should I be concerned with who sees what?
Because it can easily snowball, right? We might not mind so much that Google knows our favorite brand of clothing, right? That might even be handy sometimes because we'll see an ad and we'll say, oh, I like that shirt, and I'll maybe get it, right? And that can seem convenient. But as these technologies get stronger, we don't really know where it's going to go and how people will continue to use them, who's going to be getting that information and who's going to be making even stronger technologies to gather even more information. And we definitely don't want our like credit card information or our where we live or different things in the hands of people that might want to, you know, try and hack our credit cards or do something like that. And also these technologies are often used by the government and they surveil a lot of information from people. And so we're lucky in the U.S. that we have a lot of protections on our rights and we're able to sort of fight those things. But in other countries, we see that as people are sort of putting information about themselves online, like they can often end up getting into big trouble and winding up in jail and other horrible things. And so it's important to protect the rights that we have and be aware of them and talk about them and make sure that people understand them so that we can keep them strong so that we don't end up in a situation where we don't have any, right? We don't want it to snowball.
Edward Snowden, the guy who released all the data and is in hiding in Russia right now, he said, saying that you don't care about privacy because you have nothing to hide is the same thing as saying you don't care about freedom of speech because you have nothing to say. Mm-hmm. And so I think it is important. It is in our Bill of Rights. In fact, of the amendments protecting our right to privacy, is it the Fourth Amendment mm-hmm. that is the right to privacy? It's actually so important that our founding fathers of the United States felt that it was worth its own right, mm-hmm. your right to privacy.
Yeah.
So kids can keep their privacy, I'd like to say pretty easily, but it actually has gotten a lot harder. Mm-hmm. But they kind of have to, what you're saying is kids need to, and people need to communicate to others that they want their privacy. They need to do their homework so that their privacy settings are really tight on all mm-hmm. of their social media. And what else would you say is a good tool for keeping your privacy?
I would say, just really understanding the value of things like the internet as a platform for free speech, right? And it's one of the last real platforms that we have where anybody, if you have an internet connection, you can go on and you can talk about your opinions and your thoughts and maybe ideas that you have for your community. That's really important. And so really understanding that being more cautious around privacy isn't about getting rid of that, right? It's not about getting rid of that. It's about protecting free speech. And the more that we're aware of it and how the privacy setting works and who's getting that information, the more we're protecting this platform that allows us to, have such great ideas and be so innovative. And I think that that's really important, right? Like when we're telling people, like, be careful about privacy, we're not saying stop telling people your opinions and your ideas, because that's so important. We have to keep that. But there are ways to keep your personal information safe. And so it's important to understand both, I think.
Alana Offield, she's from the ACLU New Mexico. She's a field organizer. Thank you so much for being with us in the Children's Hour this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Talking about kids and privacy. I learned a lot. I hope you did, too. Stick with us on the Children's Hour. Lots more great music and lots more stuff happening. We're going to be talking about one of the founders of the ACLU. It's her birthday today in just a minute, right here on the Children's Hour.
Come on, come on.
Today is the birthday of American author, political activist, and lecturer Helen Keller. She was born on June 27, 1880 in Tuscumbria, Alabama. Helen Keller contracted a sickness at 2 years old that left her deaf and blind. Back in those days, her well-intentioned parents really didn't know what to do to help Helen learn how to navigate the world. But 4 years later, Helen's mother was inspired by a Charles Dickens account of another deaf and blind woman. The family sought out the help from a specialist in Baltimore for help. And the specialist referred the family to Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone, who then directed the family to a special school in Boston. The school sent 20-year-old Annie Sullivan, who herself was visually impaired, to become Helen's teacher.
Teaching Helen and helping her became Anne Sullivan's lifelong work. They worked together for 49 years. Their story has been immortalized in the movie The Miracle Worker and in numerous books.
Annie taught Helen how to speak sign language, and eventually Helen herself attended the prestigious Boston school that Annie had been at, the Perkins Institute for the Blind. And eventually she went to the Horace Mann School for the Deaf. Helen went to Radcliffe College in Boston and had a very special admirer, Mark Twain. Their friendship led to Helen's education getting funded by the Standard Oil magnate Henry Rogers. In 1904, Helen Keller, then 24 years old, became the first deaf-blind person to earn a Bachelor's of Arts degree.
Helen Keller was determined to speak conventionally and spent years learning how. This led to a lifetime of giving lectures and speeches. She could also understand others by lip-reading with her hands placed on a person's mouth. She could read Braille and was a prolific writer. Helen Keller was world famous, an advocate for people with disabilities. She also fought for the right for women to vote, and she supported women's right to full access to birth control. She was a socialist, and she helped found the American Civil Liberties Union, the very organization that came on the show earlier today to talk about privacy with us.
Helen Keller died in 1968 at the age of 87 years old. This is Jonathan Sprout with his tribute to Helen Keller.
When there is darkness and the music's gone, it's hard to know which way to go and how to carry on. Try to remember each day is new. Keep searching for an open door and you can make it through. Keep your face to the sunshine. You won't see the shadows fall. Trust your spirit.
For the KUNM Kids Birthday Club, celebrating kids' birthdays on the radio and in their mailbox. Happy birthday if today is your birthday.
Happy birthday to Isabella, Franzetti, Stanlia, listening online from Seal Beach, California, turning 6 years old tomorrow. Happy birthday to Sophia Amdor from Taos, New Mexico, turning 5 years old on Wednesday. Happy birthday to Seth Jacob Pardo Friedman from Albuquerque, turning 7 years old on Wednesday.
These kids are getting birthday gifts in the mail from us just for being in the club. Joining is easy. Just email kunmkids@kunm.org with your name, birth date, and mailing address, and you're in the KUNM Kids Birthday Club.
You've been tuned to the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. Stick with us. Folk Roots is coming up next, followed by Women's Focus at noon. You can find our playlists, podcasts, and so much more at KUNM.org. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at KUNM Kids.
I see the moon, and the moon sees me, and the moon sees the one that I long to see. So God bless the moon, and God bless me, and God bless the one that I long to see. It seems to me that God above created you for me to picked you out of all the rest, because he knew I loved you best. I once had a heart called mine, you see, but now it's gone to you from me. So take good care, as I have done, for you have two and I have none. I see the moon and the moon sees me, and the moon sees the one that I long to see. So God bless the moon and God bless me, and God bless the one that I long to see.